Hey, everybody. It's Andy, the Charlie Kirk Show. How do parents fight back for their child's education? Also, a new horrifying domestic terrorism bulletin from the Department of Homeland Security. That and so much more. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war at tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. If you want to email me directly, you could do so, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Make sure you subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show by taking your podcast app, typing in Charlie Kirk Show, and hitting subscribe. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There's a new bulletin out from the Department of Homeland Security, and it is a National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin. Now, we first must remember that the Department of Homeland Security is a recent creation of the regime. DHS did not exist prior to 9/11. It is a new department, a new agency. They sent out this bulletin. They do this every couple months to try to tell you what the big threats are for terrorism. As we head into the Super Bowl and we head into the reopening of the country, what threats are there? Well, the National Terrorism Advisory System Bulletin, February 7th, 2022. And it goes through what they believe are the greatest threats to America. The key factors contributing to the current heightened threat environment include, quote, widespread online proliferation of false or misleading narratives regarding unsubstantiated widespread election fraud and COVID-19. Grievances associated with these themes inspired violent extremist attacks during 2021. What violent extremist attacks that off the top of your head without Googling can you think of that was inspired by somebody talking about ivermectin? Like anyone? Was there the great hydroxychloroquine revolt in Brooklyn? I mean, I do remember, well, if the National Terrorism Advisory Board wants to care about public safety, how about the most murderous years on display in the urban cities of our country? Albuquerque, New York, Chicago, Milwaukee. DHS says that if you talk about voter fraud, you're a threat to the republic. So Dinesh D'Souza with his new movie coming out, 2,000 Mules, you're a threat. Now, we predicted this when it came to the Canadian truckers, that they were soon going to call them domestic terrorists. There's a convoy now being led across the country to go from the West Coast to Washington, D.C. The National Terrorism Board goes on to say, quote, or advisory bulletin, as COVID-19 restrictions continue to decrease nationwide, increased access to commercial and government facilities and the rising number of mass gatherings could provide increased opportunities for individuals looking to commit acts of violence to do so often without little or any warning. You hear that? Reopening the country means there will be more terrorists. Some violent domestic extremists have continued to advocate for violence in response to false or misleading narratives about unsubstantiated election fraud. Really? Unsubstantiated election fraud? Maybe if the Department of Homeland Security was doing their job, they could explain why there were 2,000 ballot mules that we know of, there was probably even more, that went to 25-plus ballot drop boxes in Atlanta, in Phoenix, in Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. Against ballot harvesting laws. Would that not be widespread criminal network, a coordinated campaign? No. According to the government, I am a terrorist for even talking about this. The months preceding the upcoming 2022 midterms could provide additional opportunities for these extremists and other individuals to call for violence directed at democratic institutions, political candidates, party offices, election events, and election workers. You understand, this is not the Huffington Post. This is your government. Your government that we give power 2 has issued a system bulletin saying, be on the lookout for those people that want to get the vitamin D levels up. Those people that talk about early treatments, they might be a domestic terrorist. But if we leave the southern border wide open, no big deal. And guess what? Department of Homeland Security is technically responsible for the 2 million person invasion that has happened in our country. Now, I have read this, not at length. I just got this printed in time for us to do this. And I'm looking through this, and I don't want to speak out of turn, but I don't believe there is any mention of our wide open southern border in this domestic Department of Homeland Security bulletin. So you have DHS, which technically DHS oversees Border Patrol. They oversee all the facilities on the southern border. And what do they say is the biggest threat to your safety? Not the 2 million people streaming across the southern border. 2 million people, which is an invasion. We're going to get to Attorney General Mark Brnovich's comments on that, which I thought were phenomenal and actually set a really good precedent. No. The threat, they say, is this, quote, online proliferation for false or misleading narratives regarding unsubstantiated widespread election fraud and COVID-19. So basically, the Charlie Kirk Show, according to the Department of Homeland Security, you can get rid of the widespread, the unsubstantiated part of it, we're a bigger threat to the American people than someone that might traffic a dirty bomb across the southern border. Continues by going through in great, honestly, in just generalities. How about this one? A small number of threat actors are attempting to use the evacuation and resettlement of Afghan nationals following the U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan last year as a means to exacerbate long-standing grievances and justify attacks against immigrants. I don't know of one instance of that, but I do know an instance of something that Department of Homeland Security doesn't mention. Breaking. Afghan refugee brought to the United States by Biden charged with sexual assault. These are starting to pile up, by the way. This is like the fourth story I've seen like this of the people we brought to the United States from Afghanistan that are raping our girls. Afghan refugee who came in recently to Wausau, Wisconsin, was arrested Monday for allegedly sexually assaulting a woman. One media outlet referred to him as a prominent man in his community and a tribal leader in Afghanistan. He now only faces a fine up to $10,000 and a maximum of 9 months in prison. So he'll be re-released into the interior of the United States. And weeks ago, an Afghan male was convicted for sexually molesting a 3-year-old girl at a U.S. military base. A couple months before that, a 19-year-old Afghan male brought to the United States by Biden was arrested in Montana after he allegedly raped an 18-year-old woman in a Missoula hotel. Those charges come after another 2 Afghan men in Fort McCoy in Monroe, Wisconsin, after being prosecuted for separate charges of domestic abuse and child sex crimes. And yes, we do say the politically incorrect thing. Afghan subculture is more likely to rape Western women. Studies have shown this. There was a story that we went. Remember that story that we covered? It was in great detail. This is not an unsubstantiated thing. This is not a xenophobic thing. It's not just women, but children. And that article is one of the most telling ones. I think we actually publicized that article more effectively than anybody else, where we went into great detail. This woman who worked as a humanitarian refugee resettlement director, and she said, I wanted to believe it wasn't true, but the rape crisis in Europe from the Afghan community in particular was shocking. The Department of Homeland Security, though, says that the threat to America, they lead with this. The key factor threat is you. What do we do when your government calls you a terrorist? Explicitly, outrightly, unabashedly, they say you're a terrorist. It would be nice if the Republicans in Congress maybe sent a press release about this. They're really good at that. Department of Homeland Security is going to be able to use the FISA process, be able to use the national security apparatus to try and choke your ability to speak out, spy on you, surveil you, curtail your freedoms. You could fill in the blank. They say, what do you do? Stay informed and stay prepared. report these people that are doing this. That's right. Your government wants to empower your fellow countrymen to snitch on you if you're talking about hydroxychloroquine on Facebook. You talked about ivermectin? That's Al-Qaeda. Department of Homeland Security thinks that you are a terrorist. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. The left is waging a war on free speech with the help of big tech and the United States government. Thankfully, there are still companies that believe in our Constitution. That's why I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage because they use the same towers as the major carriers. Get the same great service without funding the major carriers who donate to leftist causes. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional service. I know the CEO of Patriot Mobile, Glenn. He's amazing. And Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, and the sanctity of life. Make the switch today. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get a free activation with the offer code Charlie. They also have special discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes. Vote with your dollars. Switch to Patriot Mobile. It's patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Charlie. So in the memo, they target the people, but our entire republic is based on we the people being sovereign. Do you notice that all of a sudden a representative government very quickly becomes a ruler government? And they need to quash you. They need to silence your voice. They need to intimidate you. I mean, I'm just going to reread this line that the greatest threats, I mean, I'm paraphrasing part of this just for simplicity, but you could read it yourself at the Department of Homeland Security website, that the contributing factors to the heightened threat environment is people that push widespread voter fraud claims or talk about COVID-19, grievances associated with these themes inspired violent extremist attacks during 2021. And this also goes back to Memogate with Merrick Garland. Don't forget that. One of the first moves when Kevin McCarthy takes over the House of Representatives as Speaker, and when the House of Representatives flips to Republican hands, which is looking more and more likely, it's not guaranteed, one of the things that needs to happen is to impeach Merrick Garland. Don't go after Biden first. Impeach Merrick Garland. Isolate him. Find out what he knows. Find out how the head of the Department of Justice signed a letter calling moms and dads domestic terrorists. Don't you see a theme here? Merrick Garland from the Department of Justice signs that letter. The Department of Homeland Security signs a very similar letter. Department of Education. It really kind of begs the question, is half the country going to be considered a domestic terrorist? The answer is yes, and they're willing to use the security apparatus to do so. And the temperature in the room keeps on climbing. Now, do you notice that on this show, we're constantly calling for peaceful action? We are calling for persuasive arguments. We're calling for dialogue. We're calling for running for office. Yet the other side is outright violent. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, we were really worried about domestic violent extremists. That's what the Department of Homeland Security says. Well, really, a former strategist for Bill Clinton, who basically ran his political operation, is calling for a law change to be able to punch unvaccinated people in the face. That would be a domestic violent extremist. Cut 52.
I wish they'd do is pass a law to make you immune from liability if you punch some unvaccinated person right in the faces, which I'd really like to do. If you ask me when, you know, what's my first reaction to you, if you're not vaccinated and you don't have any medical reason not to be, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, that's not going to result in any violence. No, of course not. So that's just not some schlep off the side of the street. This guy was a political strategist. So you say, oh, Charlie, come on. What is he known for? Have you ever heard the expression, it's the economy, stupid? That was him that came up with it. But now it's the unvaccinated punching in the face, stupid. So if the Department of Homeland Security really wants to pinpoint where the heightened language comes from, do they not talk about Maxine Waters talking about getting in their face? And while they're at it, why don't they do a diagnostic report about how Steve Scalise got shot and nearly died as a member of Congress when a Bernie Sanders supporter decided to open fire at a congressional baseball practice? Or how about the mass shooter in Ohio that was a big Elizabeth Warren fan that came and just started shooting everybody? Or if they really want to talk about domestic violent extremists, why not the Islamist that was an anti-gay guy that went into the Pulse nightclub shooting in Florida and started killing gay people? No, instead, it's the people that talk about vitamin D levels and ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. These are the true domestic violent extremists. And then you have James Carville going around being like, I want to change the law so I could smack people in the face that are unvaccinated. Here's the issue. Some people will say it's just bluster. It's just people blowing off steam. No, now it's policy. This document from Department of Homeland Security, it's not an idea. It's not some sort of weirdo professor at Evergreen State University. It's like, oh, yeah, I think half the country are terrorists. No, no, this is your Department of Homeland Security. This is the government. Let me put it more plainly. These are the people with the guns. These are the people with the handcuffs that say that the big threats to American way of life, not the 2 million people coming across the southern border, not the fentanyl overdoses, not all that sort of stuff we've gone to. No, no, no. It's people that talk about widespread election fraud and COVID-19. Now, it would be brilliant. In fact, it would be helpful if the Republican Party maybe started to wise up and realize they're going to be targeted too. We call them eat me last Republicans. Oh, no, it's okay. It's just because of the people in the hinterlands. Really? You think that the regime is going to stop with you, Mitt Romney? If you're like the last standing Republican, no, they'll take you out too. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 60% off the Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a set for as low as $39.99. For a limited time, with a purchase, you will receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code Kirk. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. Along with this offer, you also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products and MyPillow towel sets and so much more. Call 1-800-875, use promo code Kirk on MyPillow.com. That's promo code Kirk. I just bought a dog bed. It's amazing. Check it out right now, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Mike Lindell is a great American. He sits on the Turning Point USA Advisory Board. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. With us right now is a friend of mine and an education crusader, in a good way. Rebecca Friedrichs is the author of Standing Up to Goliath, Battling State and National Teacher Unions for the Heart and Soul of Our Kids in Our Country, something we care a lot about on this program and also at Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. Rebecca, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's been a little while since we've seen each other. I think it was Steve Hilton's show when we last saw each other, but you're doing terrific work. Introduce yourself to our audience and tell us about your book.
Sure. Well, I was a 28-year public school teacher. I would still be in the classroom if it wasn't for the corruption of the so-called teacher unions who have destroyed our educational system. So a few years ago, I left the classroom after suing the teachers' unions. Our case went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Our goal was to stop forced unionism. Eventually, forced unionism was stopped. No one in the country is forced to pay a government union anymore. And I wrote the book Standing Up to Goliath in order to educate teachers and government employees and parents that the unions are bad. We need to stop funding them. The PTA is in the pocket of the unions. We need to stop funding them and many other things.
Well, I just want to thank you for your stand. And if my memory serves me correctly, your case, Friedrichs versus the California Education Association, was going to result in a Supreme Court decision. But I believe Scalia passed away. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. Our case was heard January 2016. 1 month later, Scalia died. And what's really interesting, Charlie, is during our case, the number one question people asked me was, are you afraid for your life suing the unions? And are you afraid for your job was question number two. After Scalia's death, the question people ask me to this day is, do you think the unions killed him? And I won't answer that question. I mean, the man loved life. He liked to eat a lot of food and he liked wine. And, you know, maybe he died of natural causes. But the fact people ask that question is very telling about how brutal the unions are to people who are forced to fund them.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that, but we do know that we're dealing with a mob, we're dealing with a cartel, and so people can come to their own conclusions or whatever. So talk about education in general right now. There's a lot of different movements happening in America. There's some movements towards online education. There's movements towards homeschooling. We've been trying to dabble into part of that, as that's been well publicized in the last 24 hours. But you come at it from an educational standpoint of trying to crush the teacher unions. Talk a little bit about the trend of the education movement right now, and also just talk about the threat that teacher unions present to the American way of life.
Oh, wow. I can't speak strongly enough about the threat of the so-called teacher unions. They are neither representing teachers, nor are they really unions. They're really these just these brutal people who want to undermine our free republic. They are using the communist goals to do that. So they are dangerous. We need to get them out of our schools. So how did they change our schools? Well, the American founders started the most incredible educational system on the planet, which included a classical liberal arts education. Our kids were learning the Latin and the Greek. They were learning how to deeply think with the Socratic method. They were really educated. Now our students are being indoctrinated. A lot of them can't read or write. They've removed cursive. Why? Well, you can't read the founding documents if you can't read cursive. So there's this literal on purpose destruction of our educational system. Why would the unions do that? Well, because they don't want us to be a free republic. And our founders told us the only way to keep a free republic is with a well-educated and moral citizenry that can self-govern. So these unions have purposely undermined the education and the morals of our children so that they won't be able to self-govern anymore. And now you see, you know, people rioting in the streets and all this other mess. As far as the new educational movement, thank God, I serve on something called Public School Exit, and our whole job is to help connect teachers and parents with alternatives to the public school system. It's time for people to realize that the government was never supposed to be in our schools, and it's the parents and good teachers that are supposed to work together to educate these kids. And the sooner we can learn that and stop relying on government, the sooner our schools are going to improve.
I think that's exactly right. But some parents will be agreeing with you, but then they might stop short. They might say, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can homeschool. I don't know if I can take my kid out of public school. Talk about how you make it easy and, you know, encourage some parents to take that step.
I can relate to those parents. I was a single mom for 7 years. I get it. I get the struggle. I get the cost. You can do it. So with our the organization, I just serve on the board of advisors of Public School Exit. What we do there is we literally help you to see that there are dozens of options. A lot of them are not expensive. You don't have to homeschool. There's a lot of support for homeschooling. It doesn't mean you're doing all the work. There's a lot of people out there who want to work with you. Don't be afraid. And I want to give you this little warning. It's the teacher unions who created messaging to tell parents they were too dumb to teach their own kids. It was the teacher unions who claimed that the experts had to teach the kids. You're the expert parents. You're the expert real teachers. The unions, are, you know, they're using all of us. They just want to get power and they want to get access to our kids. So the faster you realize you have all that it takes to educate your child and we can support you with that, the better off we're all going to be.
So the teacher unions will say that they are the most important organization on the planet, that they're the ones that are protecting children and education. Talk about the actual statistical failure of the public sector teacher unions, the dramatic difference that a union education versus a non-union education can actually present for a child.
Oh, my goodness. It's polar. The difference is polar. So the first thing I would say is what you said, that the teacher unions claim they are. I have been a teacher 28 years, my husband 42 years. We were forced to fund the unions. The unions are liars. What they're saying are lies. They do not make things better. They do not represent teachers. They do not do what's good for children. I mentioned earlier that they're purposely undermining our free republic. Who would purposely come in and undermine the education of children? Who would claim that they're for the poor and then purposely make sure that the poor stay poor by making sure they're undereducated? That's just evil. And so these teacher unions are not about supporting the education of our children. And the specific stats for today, I don't have the numbers right in the top of my head, but I can tell you vast numbers of our children can't read, they can't write, they're not doing the mathematics. I taught for a long time. I've taught kindergarten, first, second, third, and fourth. It is not rocket science to teach a child how to learn, how to read. We used phonics. The teacher unions removed the phonics. We used great educational methods. The teacher unions come in and corrupt it all. They undermine teachers. They bring in things like Common Core and change the curricula constantly instead of allowing teachers to be excellent at what we know what to do. So the teacher unions are doing everything to undermine. And the difference between an education with the teachers unions and an education without is you don't get educated well in the teacher union corrupt system. If the unions are out, you have a chance to get educated well.
So the question really is, who has sovereignty over our kids? And you have an upcoming movie where it says, whose child is it? Is that right? I might be getting it wrong.
Whose children are they?
Whose children are they? I got my grammar a little screwed up there, but whose children are they? And that's the question, because you have we had an article here the other day where a school board member says, I mean, parents have no say over their kids' education. The Michigan Democrat Party has said exactly the same explicitly. Well, whose children are they?
Yeah. So the children belong to the parents. God gave them to the parents. And it's the parents' responsibility to raise the children and to educate the children. It's not the responsibility of the government. And our current government, run by the teacher unions put this, I call it a regime, in office. The teacher unions are the ones that opened, put Jimmy Carter in office and got the National Department of Education. The teacher unions and the Democrat Party are the ones who have been working together to undermine our educational system. And so whose children are they? They're not the government's. But the Democrat Party and there's some Republicans doing this too now, who have been captured by the unions, and the unions and their ideological political pals, all of them think your child belongs to the government. That's why they're in public schools. They're allowing kids to go by a different gender and not telling the parents, letting kids, do all kinds of things behind their parents' back. Yet children can be taken for an abortion from the school and the parent will never know about it. There's so much undermining of parents because these unions and their friends think they own the kids. They do not. How dare they? The children belong to the parents. So our movie is answering that question. Whose children are they? We're talking about the struggle between the parents and the government. We're exposing the critical race theory, the radical sex ed, these anti-discipline policies, turning our schools into war zones. All of that is because of union influence and their friends, ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, Planned Parenthood. So we're exposing that stuff. And then, just making the strong statement that, no, our kids don't belong to you. They're ours. And it's time parents start taking authority. Don't put your kids in those radical schools anymore. Don't, when I was a single parent, I found a way to put my son in private school. How did I do that? I never went to buy a coffee. I never went out to dinner. I made a priority for my child, and every parent can do that.
I totally agree with that, and I know there's some families struggling financially. Whether you can apply for scholarship support, also homeschooling is an option. But the public education system right now, in certain parts of the country, it is irredeemable. Now, we should still run for school boards to influence the kids that are left over of parents that don't know any better, in particular first-generation parents. They just don't get it. So we should still be contesting for all kids. But your kids, you do not have to put them into this nonsense, into this machine of indoctrination. Rebecca, tell us about where people can find their book and what they can learn from it.
Okay, so my book is called Standing Up to Goliath. You can find it by going to our website, forkidsandcountry.org. The book is there, and you can also find out a lot of other things. The biggest thing that I would ask you to do, please, is adopt a teacher. And you can learn about adopt a teacher on our website, forkidsandcountry.org. Put your arm around them, love them, and educate them on how wicked their unions are, because teachers no longer have to pay those unions. Our movement is a mass union exit. We want teachers and all government employees out of corrupt government unions, and you can help us to do that. And you can find out union exit on our website too.
And one other thing, if you are a union employee, by law, you do not have to pay the dues that go towards the political party. Thanks to Rebecca's precedent, and Janice kind of picked up the rest because of Scalia's death. But it was your leadership, Rebecca, You can get a tax cut, sometimes a multi-thousand-dollar a year tax cut. Most teachers don't even know this. The money's literally sitting on the table. So if you know a teacher or if you are a teacher, the Supreme Court has ruled that those thousands of dollars you're paying the teacher unions, you do not have to pay. You do not. In fact, that is a tax cut. That is a stimulus on the table, and we need to publicize that. And there's some resources if people are interested that they can get made aware of for that. Thank you so much, Rebecca. God bless you. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Look, meat is hard to come by right now, and you might get meat from overseas. And look, 85% of grass-fed beef in stores and online is imported. Don't pay a premium for low-quality foreign meat. So look, when the box of Good Ranchers comes to our office, it's a feeding frenzy. Producer Connor, he gets his elbows out. He gets people to get out of the way, is what Producer Connor says. He gets the fresh cuts, 100% American meat, T-bones, New York strips, ribeyes. In fact, Producer Connor was doing an Instagram live stream, and he was grilling T-bones, New York strips, and all sorts of different types of things. Producer Andrew fed his entire family with Good Ranchers, and it actually mended fences. It was people in his family that otherwise would have been very politically divided. Good Ranchers brings families together. Their beef is prime and upper choice and the highest quality possible. Good Ranchers helps solve your meat problem. Shop Good Ranchers for all your beef, chicken, and seafood needs. They sell 100% American beef, 100% American meat sourced from local American farms. Good Ranchers take the guesswork out of your meat aisle and grocery shopping. Their animals are ethically raised and sustainably sourced. They do the things the right way, and it shows in every box. So head on over to goodranchers.com/Charlie today to solve your meat problem once and for all. Get transparency, quality, and the cuts you've been craving. Order now with code CHARLIE and get $25 off your box. Now is the time to support American farms and ranchers. They're hurting and you're hungry. Solve both of these problems with a box of American meat delivered. Whoever buys the meat in your house goes to goodranchers.com/Charlie right now. goodranchers.com/Charlie. Boom. Meat. Support the Charlie Kirk Show. Support America. Get the protein. goodranchers.com/Charlie. So the Olympics are going on. I mean, it's – China is not our friend, and this whole thing is such a joke. Connor has been looking better and better with this, I have to tell you. Is he not even here? He's not even here to accept the prize. He's gone. Connor said we shouldn't send the athletes. Don't send them. China's going to rig it with the testing and all that stuff. 300 medals will be awarded to Olympians this Olympic season. So far, America has come with the second most – Winter Olympic medals with 305. It hasn't been a good start. We have yet to get a gold medal. The Russian Olympic Committee currently leads the medal count with 10 total, while Sweden leads with 4 gold medals with 5 total medals. And Team USA is tied for 8th alongside China, Germany, Slovenia, and France. Now, a lot of the team stuff is still coming up. But the Russian Olympic Committee seems to be doing quite well. Now, it is unusual for America to win the Winter Olympic count. We won the total medal count back in Vancouver of 2010. There's a debate of whether or not it's the gold medals that count or the total medals that count. I think it's total medals that count. That's a whole separate conversation for another time. Some people are calling it the Genocide Games. It's probably a good name for it, as the Chinese Communist Party is trying to turn their international image around. And there's one image, it was on Jack Posobiec's Telegram, where it shows this massive industrial park. Did you see this picture? With this one kind of ski slope that they just inserted. And boy, just the aesthetic of China, it is. It's not a place you would want to live, let me tell you that. So everyone gets really mad about people being racist right now. I want to tell you about one story kind of connected with what Rebecca, kind of the Rebecca Friedrichs thing and also some other stories. It's an unbelievable story. So we have been warning for quite some time that segregation is evil. Segregation is wrong. Well, in Portland, what if I told you a black-only charter school is opening? Portland. Portland has been labeled the whitest big city in America. This is from KGW.com. That can make it difficult for some BIPOC. What a weird acronym, right? Black, indigenous, and people of color kids to see themselves reflected in their communities and their schools. That's why there's an effort to create black-only schools. It's very hard to learn when you don't see yourself in the curriculum. You don't see yourself in the educational model. Why is that really hard to learn? Why does race matter so much? What if we had white-only schools? How would you feel about that? Be evil? Yeah, it is evil. We know that black and brown indigenous kids learn equally well if they have a space that they'll see themselves in history, their culture, and all that's honored. Okay, let me just say something politically incorrect. If black-only schools work so well, why are Baltimore schools falling apart? If black-only schools work so well, why are Chicago schools a total mess? If that's the solution, then why aren't the blackest schools in America doing the best? If it's all about just having people that look like you, then so be it. And by the way, it goes both ways for Media Matters out there. Why isn't that Maine schools the best? Maine is one of the whitest states in the country. I guarantee you go to rural Maine, they have nothing but white people, some of the worst performing schools in the country. How about on the border? I guarantee you if you went to McAllen, Texas, it's 70-80% Hispanics that go to McAllen, Texas high school, some of the worst high schools in the country. So maybe it has nothing to do about homogeneity or if people look the same. It has something to do with the quality education and the morals and the values and the ethics that you're actually trying to implement to the children. But Portland is saying, hey, you know what we need? We need more segregation. So we're going to put all the black kids in one school, but don't worry, it's equal. It's separate but equal. Separate but equal. Now, for those of you that know that phrase, yes, Brown versus the Board of Education actually repealed the whole idea of separate but equal. But that's where we're headed. And they're doing it willingly, which is so shockingly. And my friend Hugh Hewitt, who I don't agree with on everything, but he's just a decent and good person, he was right. He said, this is unconstitutional. And he's right. It is unconstitutional. It's illegal and it's immoral. Going to school with people that look like you does not make you more likely to succeed. It means nothing. Only a tribalist would believe such a thing. Only someone as simple as someone that just cares about ethnic groups would care about that. But in Portland, separate but equal is the law of the land. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.